It's great to have all the married men in the house. Go ahead and return your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 2. And tonight we're going to be talking about building intimacy. Building intimacy. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity we have together right now, Father, as married men. Father, we want to thank you, God, for our spouses, for giving us spiritual women to be our wives. Father, I pray, God, that you will help us to continue to be the men we need to be. That you will help us to love our wives like you love the church. That you will teach us and help us to grow in our intimacy. That, Father, in every aspect of our marriages and our lives, we would lead by example. Father, again, Father, we don't have the words enough to thank you for giving us your wonderful spiritual daughters to be our helpers. In a world where the divorce rate is so high, we're thankful, God, that we have spiritual wives who love us despite our faults, despite all of our shortcomings. And that, Father, with the Bible as our standard, we're able to walk things out and resolve whatever it is that's there in our lives and in our marriages. I pray, Father, we'll never take our marriages for granted. But, Father, we'll have such marriages that will be a light, will be radiant, that will be very attractive to our co-workers, very attractive to our neighbors, very attractive to our family members and friends. We love you, Father, and we thank you for Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 2. Let's go start in the beginning. As we talk about intimacy, building intimacy. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, a passage we are very familiar with. It says, "For this reason, a man would leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. And they will become one flesh." We all know the story. We all know, we're very familiar with this passage. That it was God who came up with the idea of marriage in the first place. He looked at men like us. He looked at Adam and thought, you know what? He needs help. You value him alone. Who knows what will happen? And so the Bible says he created woman out of man to be our helper. Amen? And he says, for that reason, man will leave his father and mother, will leave our parents that raised us, and will be united with our wives. And the two flesh will now become one. That's what it says. What do we mean by intimacy? It won't come as a surprise to you that because we're different, men and women define intimacy very differently. Most men, like myself, me included, when we hear the word intimacy, we immediately think about sex. We men translate being intimate, being, oh, sex with my wife. Sex is a very small aspect of what we're going to be talking about tonight. Again, most men also think about intimacy, sometimes as doing activities with somebody. The more you do stuff with somebody, the more intimate you become. You know, sometimes we will say of our male friend, oh, I got a buddy. I got a fishing buddy. Or I got a motorcycle buddy. You know, people, other guys that we do activities with. You know, because also that brings and breeds intimacy. A lot of times that's where women define it. Women, on the other hand, believe it or not, define intimacy very differently. They view intimacy as sharing verbally about experiences, about their feelings, about their needs, expressing those things and talking about them. That's the way they define intimacy. And so you can see very quickly that if we're not talking and communicating with our wives, they're going to feel very close to us, physically and emotionally. Now, none of what I'm going to say tonight is new. We've all been to marriage workshops. Another one we just heard is coming up in October. Everything we're going to be talking about, we've heard at some point in time before. The question, the issue is, we're not doing those things. And I want us tonight to focus on the doing. Because we've heard this thing so many times, and we've learned them at some point. And we've got to become men that put things into practice, not only for a short period of time, but it becomes part of our character and part of who we are. How many of us were at the retreat last year at Wishape? Okay? I noticed at Wishape, I was also there. During the whole time, I see us, husband and wife, holding hands throughout the entire weekend. Yes, the kids were not around. You know, we left them back at home here in Atlanta. And we had a lot of time just to be there and connect with our wives. But what's happened to all that? You know, again, I'm guilty of this. And I thought about us as men. You know, even that one little, you know, holding our wives' hands. I was very hard-pressed as I went through the congregation. And now, who does this? Who is this way? Again, I said this in the class with the married under 15, I believe it was 2 weeks ago. What I believe has happened is, as we start having kids, what happens is, we start holding the kids' hands instead of our wives' hands. And we forget that these kids are going to grow up and they're going to leave the house. A few more years, they are gone. And you and I are going to be left with our spouses. And that's not the time now, oh, okay, now the kids are gone. Okay, honey, now we're going to walk hand in hand as we go around. That's not the case. It shouldn't be that way. I was even joking around that a few weeks ago in history, you're holding your wife's hand and the kids are on this side. Let them hold their own hands, each other's hands. And then you got one, and then let that son or daughter grab the other one. And then your wife's over here. Something as little as that, I really believe, we need to put into practice. And we're going to talk more about that. I'm going to give us an intimacy test that you're going to take home. Your wives are going to get the same thing at the end of the class. And you're going to grab yourself. But the most important thing I want us to get out of this, even as we talk about all this stuff, is what are you going to implement in all these things that's going to cause you to be more intimate with your spouse? It will pay tremendous dividends for your marriage. It will pay tremendous dividends for our marriages. And I'm also guilty. And so I'm not standing up here talking about this like, oh yeah, Richard's got it all figured out. As I'm putting this lesson together, I am flat convicting myself. I just say, you know what, hey, I need to change it. Ooh, baby, ooh, boy. It's been a while since I did that. Ooh, boy, oh, boy. It was a hard lesson. Amen? Amen? Brothers, intimacy is a journey. Again, as men, I believe that we desire independence. The way God created us, we're problem solvers. We don't like being controlled. We don't like being told what to do. That's just who we are. And the truth is, we're turned on sexually just by visual. It doesn't take a lot to get us going. As far as sex is concerned with our wives, women are very different. Women have a deep sense of relational connections. They have a deep desire for harmony. And if that intimacy is not there, it's very difficult for them to give to us sexually. If you look up in the dictionary, the definition for intimacy, it defines it as a close and warm friendship. A place where there are no fences. That's what we all desire with our spouses. Amen? Ephesians chapter 5. Again, none of this is new to us. But, you know, it's always good to always look at the Bible and see what God says about some of these things. In Ephesians chapter 5, begin verse 21. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body.
For this reason, he quotes Genesis 2. For this reason, a man would leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two would become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and his wife must respect her husband. And let's stop there for a second.
One of the things I believe that hinders intimacy is you and I simply not deciding whether to obey the Bible. That's what it comes down to when it's all said and done. Because over here, God commands us husbands, and we are husbands in here, that we should love our wives as Christ loved the church. That's the standard. He didn't just say love our wives. He said, I want you to love your wives like I love the church. How much did Jesus love the church? He laid down his life for his church. And as a result, he's able to present the church as a radiant bride to himself. Now, you and I know that this is not easy. Because again, we're selfish by nature. That's just the way we are. That's just the way humans are. They think about themselves first. But see, over here in this passage, God is calling us to love our wives and to lay down our lives so that they will be radiant. It's very important that we constantly express to our wives how much we care. That, you know, coming home every day and just saying, hey, honey, how are you? That's not going to cut it. You see, again, we can do that because we feel like, well, okay, you know, I know I need to ask her how she's doing, so let me just check that one off. How are you? And we're hoping that she's not going to say a lot. And so we say, I checked that one off. That's not what we're talking about. You see, our wives can really tell whether we really want to hear or not. I never forget, many, many years ago, where my toddler was trying to help me be more expressive and to really talk to my wife and to really listen. And I asked him this dumb question. I said, are you telling me that instead of wanting to talk till 2 o'clock in the morning, for her to be radiant, that's what I need to do? And he looked at me and said, yes. Is that what it takes for her to be radiant? If she feels she wants to talk to 2 o'clock in the morning, then you need to make it happen. And I sat there going, my God, you are forsaking me. I can't do this. But you know, the more I thought about it, the more I realized, you know what? When we were dating, and I was in love, and or trying to get her to fall in love with me, or me, and vice versa, I love to talk. And I found that after we got married, as time went on, I talked less and less. And I forgot that one of the things that attracted me to her was the fact that I would sit there and talk and listen. And it dawned on me, duh, you dummy, you need to go back and do these things you used to do at first. That is really not rocket science. So what happens is, if we're not careful, is we get married and, you know, the kids come and issues come and we get more and more silent. Sometimes people think, well, I don't want to bring this up because I don't want to, quote unquote, burden my wife. Again, because the way God created us, we're problem solvers. So immediately they start talking about something, we're sitting there trying to solve all the problems. I feel like, I can't deal with this. But half the time, they're not asking us to solve problems. They just want us to understand how they feel. It's a very, very important lesson that I learned many, many years ago. Am I saying I'm totally there? No. But it's very, very important that we constantly express to our spouse how much we care. Something as simple as, I love you. How often do you say it? Is it only after you make love? Is it, I love you? It shouldn't be that. It should be something that we constantly express. You've heard the joke of the guy who said, you know what? You know, looked at his wife and said, hey, you know I love you? I don't have to express it. I told you the day I married you that I love you. And if I ever change my mind, you'll be the first person to know. But that doesn't work with women. We've got to constantly express that, amen? It's important that we're constantly telling them what we are thinking and what we're feeling. That's what creates the connection for them. Do your wife, does she know your plans?
Does she know the vision you have for yourself or for the family? Is that something you're in the habit of expressing? He said, now, Richard, how is that going to help my wife be more connected to me? Trust me. When you start telling her what you're thinking, what you're planning, how you're feeling, God created them that way. You and I become very attractive. Because it's an emotional thing for them. It's not physical. And that's why it's very difficult for our wives, you know, we've gone 2-3 days without really talking to them. And then, you know, you got your groove on, you know. Hey, honey, let's make it happen. It's not that simple for them. Because they're not connected to us through conversation. They don't know what we're thinking. They don't know what we're feeling. If we change this one little thing, you know, sometimes I hear, you know, brothers say, you know what, I love my wife to initiate more in terms of lovemaking. That I'm always the one initiating lovemaking. If you would talk to your spouse and just get in that habit, you will see this very different. She will come to you. Trust me. I've seen this work. And it still works. I had to learn this lesson the hard way. Again, I was one of those always complaining. How come I'm always more initiating? I'm tired of initiating. I like for us sometimes to come on and say, hey, let's make it happen. How come that's not happening? And then I realized, you know what? She doesn't feel connected to me emotionally. And so it's hard for her, quote unquote, to be turned on. I gotta talk to her, I gotta let her know what's going on, amen. Like I said, sometimes we feel like we have to protect them. They're strong women, they're strong spiritual women, they can take it. God created them to be our helpers. And so when we're not expressing how we're feeling or what we're thinking, we're not allowing them to play the role for which God put them on this earth in the first place. That's the issue. Again, they're not going to sit there and solve our problems. That's not the issue. But communicating what we're thinking, communicating our fears, communicating our plans, helps them to be closer to us. I can't figure that out as a guy. But I know it works for them. Are you with me? The sharing makes them feel connected. We got to submit to God's rules here. He said we need to love them until they're radiant. Amen? We need to love them until they're radiant. As Christ loved the church, where we lay down our lives. You know, sometimes, I hear, you know, brothers will say, you know, hey, whoops, what's going on? Oh, I need to do this. I'm in the doghouse. You know, I forgot our anniversary or I forgot my wife's birthday. That shouldn't be for a Christian. Where, you know, your anniversary is coming up or her birthday is coming up, you're thinking ahead, way ahead of it in terms of what you're going to do or how you're going to, you know, enjoy yourself and celebrate, whatever it is. It means a lot. And so what happens is when we forget or we don't really make it special, what that communicates to them is that we don't really care. Now, I haven't said this to the women yet. I heard this the other day and I thought, sorry, Debbie, the women are in the back. Yeah, they're in the back room. I haven't said this to the women yet, but I heard this the other day and I thought, you know what? Here's one thing our wives can do where we will never again forget the anniversary or the birthdays. The guy said, you know what, women? Go out. It's your birthday or your anniversary and your husband forgets. Go out and buy that new car you always wanted. And when you come back, say, honey, see what you got me. Says, you will not forget again. Says, just go out and buy a car. And then come back and say, honey, see what you got me. I said, okay. But I haven't told him. Alright? But see, little things like that we should not forget. We don't forget our own birthdays. Or maybe you're that kind of guy, you just really don't care. Well, okay, that's you. But for women, for our wives, that's huge. Whether we forget birthday or anniversary, it shouldn't be that way. Amen? I mean, again, to use me as an example, our 18th wedding anniversary is coming up next weekend. I have been thinking about this stuff for the last month. I finally sorted out all the arrangements. I think it was last week. You know, I always looking for a bargain. I'm not going to pay a full price for anything. Okay? And so you better believe I was all over the place. And then when I found, okay, here's value for money, let's do it. And all I said is, I just told her, you know what? We're going to be gone from this to this, whatever, and that's it. But what that communicates to her is that I care. You say, Rita, what's the big deal about 18th? Well, it's a big deal to my wife. It's a big deal to me. Amen? Now, some of those are milestones, whether it's 20 years or 25 years. You know, those ones I really believe you need to really celebrate. And again, it's not the kind of stuff our 20th is coming up, and so, okay, let's just see what happens. Oh, no. You're going to get in serious trouble. That one, you need to start saving money 12 months before the event. Because it's going to cost you. It's going to cost me. It's going to cost both of you. But where it's special, and they'll remember. Are you with me? I've never been to Paris. Because I've heard all kinds of things about Paris. That it smells, you know, it's dirty. You know, most of the people are smoking. You know, I can't stand smoke. Yeah, you see it on TV, oh, Paris is so romantic, all that kind of stuff. My wife wants to go to Paris for our 20th anniversary. She wants to go to Paris. She wants to go to Venice. Get one of those, those boats, gondolas, whatever you need to call them. I heard the water smells, but it's okay. She wants to do that, and then she wants to go to London. Now, for me, that's 2 years from now. You better believe, after that saving, I'm making plans. Those plans now. It's very important. And so the big ones are huge. And we need to celebrate it. You know, I was talking to a brother a few months ago, and he was telling me, I think it's their 20th coming up, and he was sharing how, you know, he and his wife, they're thinking of going to Abidjan to go see the disciples there and encourage them and all that stuff. And I let him finish. I said, bro, you are not going to Abidjan on your 20th anniversary. You need to take your wife somewhere to Europe. And praise God, he listened. And I said, it's coming up in November, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to go to Europe. Okay? The way he tells the story, I didn't suggest it. I told him that that's what they're going to do. But again, all I'm trying to communicate is these little things mean a lot to our wives. Amen? Look in Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 26, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Another thing that is a hindrance to our intimacy is unresolved conflict. If there is something going on between you and your wife and you can't talk it out and sort it through, it's going to bring a wedge between you. We can't let that happen. This is not just for any kind of relationship, especially husband and wife. We're sleeping in the same bed. We're sleeping under the same roof. We got to resolve things, the Bible says, before the sun goes down. And again, I believe that as men, we need to show the initiative. That even if they are at fault, you make the initiative. Isn't that what the Bible says about, you know, when you know, somebody sins against you, or if you think somebody sins against you, it's not for the other person to come talk to you, it's for you to go. And again, this is something I believe as husbands, we need to initiate and make sure that we're practicing. You know, it's hard for our wives when they're hurt. When they're hurt, believe it or not, that affects everything. It does. Now, you and I, you know, if a brother hurts you, yeah, you may feel like, well, that's it's just going to affect one aspect of your life. That's not the case for our wives. Especially when they're hurt by us. But there's something there that's not resolved. It affects everything they do. It affects the way they feel. And it shouldn't be that way. I'm going to use, again, myself as an example. Here we are, my wife and I. We're putting this class together, and we're talking back and forth, exchanging ideas. I'm telling her some of the things, you know. She's telling me some of the things the women are feeling and the husbands need to hear. And I'm telling her some of the things the husbands are feeling and our wives need to hear. And lo and behold, we got a conflict. Putting this class together. I had to go back. I had to go, leave the room, and come on and go, okay, let's talk through this. I'm sorry if this is where you felt about A, B, C, D. That's not what I was trying to communicate. But we talked it through. We settled it. Because, I mean, it would be very hypocritical of us to be standing in front of the church talking about being intimate and there's something going on between us. It doesn't work that way. God sees everything that's going on. But it's very important that we resolve things immediately. Amen? See, that's why a lot of times it's very hard for our wives when they're hurt or there's something going on in the relationship for them to want to make love. It's very, very difficult. again, the way God created us, you know, you feel the need, let's make it happen. They're not that way. And usually you'll find a lot of times when you make up and you resolve whatever it is, that's one of the best sex you can have. Because there's nothing there. Amen? Everything is resolved. All I'm saying is, when our wives feel disconnected, it is very hard for them to give sexually. Extremely hard. And again, as men, as the way God has created us, for a lot of us, that's our number one need, is sex. But unresolved conflict does not help. Again, if there's a communication breakdown, we're going to talk about that. I'm not sure what week that is, whether it's next week or the week after. There's better communication. So I'm not going to go into that in detail now. But there are different levels of communication. A lot of us men just like to stay at the bottom, where we just share facts. How's your day? Well, the day was not too bad. This happened, and that happened, and this guy came over and said this, and this guy came over, and all you're doing is sharing facts. We got to go to the next level, where you start sharing your feelings and your frustrations. That's where the connection takes place with our spouses. But a lot of times what happens is, we don't like to go there because there's a lot of conflict there that can develop. And so we back up. I just say, you know what? I'm just going to keep sharing the facts. Without realizing it. That's all we're doing. But our wives want to know, not only facts, they want to know how we feel. They want to know our frustrations. They want to know our dreams. They want to know our plans. They want to know what we are thinking. And last time I checked, none of us in here is Peter. We can't read each other's minds. They can't read our minds unless we tell them, unless we let them in. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 3. Again, we know all these passages. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, talking to you and I, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as a weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. You see, when we're not meeting our wives' needs, when we don't consider them, they're not going to be radiant. They're not going to be intimate with us. They're not going to feel close to us. Are you with me? Instead, again, they know they can't go out and divorce. And so they'll just be there and be bitter. Extremely bitter. Because they feel trapped. I can't go anywhere. Brother, can you please talk to my husband? And it shouldn't be that way. If we love God and love our wives, we got to meet their needs at every level. You know, it breaks my heart when a Christian gets up or even contemplates a thought, you know what, this marriage is not changing and I want a divorce. I'd rather go to hell than continue in this. I mean, think about what it has to take for a woman to get to that point. Because we simply refuse to meet their needs. And refuse to be the husband that God has called us to be. It's a tough place to be. Now, the Bible does not condone divorce. It says, God says, I hate divorce. Now, the truth of the matter is, if somebody goes and gets an unbiblical divorce, I don't believe they're going to lose their salvation. But such a person cannot be married. That's what the Bible teaches. You can go for it out. If you go get an unbiblical divorce, you cannot marry somebody else. You have to stay single. But you see, we gotta be the husbands that we need to be. We need to meet their needs. That divorce, that word does not even come into their thinking. Why would they want to divorce somebody that's taking care of them? Why would they want to go their separate way with somebody that's really loving them and making them feel radiant and great? Amen? Amen. But I believe that we are all capable in here of having great marriages and being intimate with our wives. Communication is the key that keeps our intimacy. You know, one of the things that we leaders did right after we came back from our retreat, our leadership retreat, was pray with our wives every single day for 30 days. And like every brother who's a leader in here will attest to, it has brought you closer to your spouse than anything else you've done in who knows how long. It's been fun. It's been great.
with Sarah every night about a different attribute of God. Because again, I cannot come before the creator of the universe if there is something between us. And so, yeah, something happens, we're going to solve it right there. And then we're going to come pray. And so, I promised us last week, all the brothers in India, that I don't need it. You may just have this already. But please take one. But I'm giving it to you guys. And over the next 30 days, you can start tomorrow, you can start tonight if you want. Pray with your wife. There's a little passage in there you need to read. But pray about that attribute of God. Pray together. I guarantee you, it's going to bring you closer together. All the ladies in here have done it. It took us a month. Okay? Now, I'm opening up to everybody. It's going to help you guys be closer together. Amen? Now, let's talk about the practice, and then I'm going to give you the building intimacy test. Tell her you love her. Express that as often as you can. Very, very important. Again, I shared this with the married less than 15 years a few weeks ago. One of the things my wife and I do, regardless of who leaves the house first or whatever, is we make sure we give each other a hug before either of us leaves the house. And when we come back, I'm at home or she's at home, I go find her. Before doing anything else, or she comes finds me, and again we help each other. Very important. And again, I share that because I don't want, heaven forbid, I leave the house and I never make it back. Or she leaves and she's in some kind of car accident and she never makes it back. That my last memory of her would be me hearing her voice and saying, "Mitch, bye, see you later." And see you later never happens. I don't know about you, I'm not living with that. And so I'm going to hug her, she's going to hug me before we leave the house. And when we come back, it's like, it's good to see you. And we've been doing that now for, I don't know how long, but it's not second nature. I walk into the house, and she walks in, it's like, until we see each other, something is wrong. Amen? Again, this is not rocket science. It's very important that you talk about the future. That you visualize your future together. I promise you, these kids are going to be gone soon. And again, one of the things we're realizing right now, and you probably heard about this and read about it, is all of a sudden people are together, they've been all together all this time, and their kids grow up and go off to college, and all of a sudden mom and dad are getting a divorce. Because they can't stand being with each other. So now the kids are gone. And I didn't know, I don't have to put up with this, I'm out of here. It's very sad when we hear that. And it's happening every day. I was talking to one of my daughters the other day, and I drop them at school every day, and we pray on the way going, and my wife picks them up from work, and she was just praying about one of our friends that she's invited to church and has come a few times, that God will help that our parents will not get a divorce. And so I finished praying, and I said, what's going on? She goes, oh, they're getting a divorce. And I'm like, what? And I said to her, talk to her, we need to have them over. Because people are hurting out there. They look fine on the outside, but they're hurting. And I want to do whatever it is I can do so that they stay together. I've been telling her just to drive up to the house and say, hey, I'm going to talk to you. But I want them to come in, and then I'm going to bring up this up. How are you guys doing? Hopefully they'll bring it up themselves. They know I'm a minister. But all I'm saying is, brothers, people are hurting out there. And we can really set the example. Amen? Amen. Again, one of the things that my wife and I don't know how far back we've been doing this, we get a kick out of when we go to a place new, when we go to a new place, whether it's a town or another country or another place, we got to make love there. And create some memories. That's just something we do. You know, I might say, I've been to Chicago. Yeah, I've been to Chicago, but I've also made it happen in Chicago. Because that's just what you say. We joke around. You say, we've got to christen this moment. for being here. But all we're doing is creating memories. You know, I guess some of us say, okay, you know, we make love in the back of the car. I have to confess, I haven't done that one yet, but it's on the list. I'm not ashamed. We're married men in here. Okay? And I don't want you in the park where the police are going to come arrest you. I don't want you to say, hey, Richard said to go do this. All I'm saying is be careful. You know? But, I mean, we can make love in new places. It's important that you do one little thing for her every day. I'm talking of one little thing. When you go out and you're having your date night, again, I'm assuming that's a regular thing, avoid talking about the usual topics. My wife and I have a rule. I mean, we've been doing this now for over 2 decades. When we go out, and Friday night is our date night, when we go out, I don't want to hear about anybody's problems. No. And sometimes, you know, we forget. We're driving, we're going somewhere, maybe to the movies, or we're going out to dinner. Oh, you know, break this, and I catch myself. Wait a second. Nothing's going to change about that situation between now and the end of this date. We are not talking about this. And if it's an emergency, you better believe there have been times when we've turned around and we've gone to take up the situation. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm not going to talk about other people's issues or problems with, or people that need help or whatever, when I'm supposed to be trying to get into it with my wife. It's not happening. We're going to talk about us. We're going to talk about our future. We're going to talk about our plans. I want to tell her what I'm thinking. Amen? Very important. But if the only time you talk is you're always resolving issues, then those times are not going to be fun. Amen? Meet someplace all dressed up. Again, I don't know how often you do that. One brother asked me tonight, what's the occasion? I said, nothing. I just felt like dressing up. You know? I haven't worn this suit in a while. I want to broke it out. Amen. I said, I just feel like dressing up. There's no occasion. Get dressed up. Yeah, dress up. Go out somewhere. He said, what's the occasion? Nothing. We just love being married to each other. Amen. Amen? Amen? Sometimes we need to say with flowers. Sometimes we need to say with cards. Walk out there with her. Hold her hand. Again, I got to repent of this. My shame. My wife had to say to me, oh, too long ago, you know, Rich, I'd love for you to open the door for me sometimes. And I said, you know, I'm so much in a hurry. Oh, yeah, we gotta go. I run away. Oh, again. Like, it doesn't cost me anything, those 5-10 seconds, opening the door for her, then I step in and I shut the door. I used to do that when I was dating her. What happened to that? And it's those little things that express to them that we care. Amen. Amen. And so, I want us to, our wives out, I get this, what I'm about to hand out. This is a building intimacy test. And what's going to happen is, I'd love you to take one and do it by yourself in the next 7 days. Where you're going to grade each question, basically. One stands for never, number two is seldom, three occasionally, four frequently, five very frequently. And so question, for instance, I seek to learn what communication, what communicates love to my spouse. So on a scale of 1 to 5, grade yourself. Next question, I initiate conversation with my spouse every day concerning the plans of the day. Grade yourself. I plan special dates so that we can spend time together. Grade yourself. I listen to my spouse about all areas of her life. Grade yourself. I am open with my spouse about fears that I have in my life. Grade yourself. I initiate discussion about conflicts that are unresolved. And it goes on. I compliment my spouse when she completes a task for me. I am open with my spouse about worries that I have in life. I admire my spouse for her character. And it goes on. I am sensitive when my spouse is hurting. Grade yourself. And at the end, there's a total that you're going to come up with when you add all those numbers. Now, if you score 200, or like I wanted you to 200, Awesome job, brother. Whatever it is you're doing is working. Keep it up. The average is going to be 120. In other words, there's a lot of room for growth. Amen? Now, if we score 40 and less, I just put down, repent. Because you are in sin. That's all. But again, I'm hoping that as we do this, we're going to see ourselves, and then we're going to decide that, you know what, I'm going to implement some of these things in my marriage. I'm going to start doing some of this stuff again. Maybe you've never done some of them before, or maybe you used to, or maybe you're doing some now. And find something else on here that's going to help you connect better with your spouse. And our wives are going to do the same thing. And they're going to score themselves. And they're going to decide to also implement the things that are on this sheet so that we can become more intimate. That's the whole purpose of this. Amen. I look forward to growing old with my wife. I really do. I love her to death. I can't believe she puts up with me. Every single day. I thank God for her every single day. That God would allow me to be married to her. Because like I said to the 15-year-old and married less than 15 years, we all married up. Every single one of us in here. God blessed us. God looked down and had mercy on us to give us the spouses He gave us. He's given us. How do I know? You and I have friends. You and I have family members. When you see the wife and you're sitting there, you're going, oh man, I'm so thankful I am not married to her. I couldn't be married to someone like this. And our wives are not like that at all. And so I say this again to say, you know, God has been good to every single one of us in here. It has been incredible. As a non-Christian, I would have probably been married like 3 times. Because no woman will put up my foolishness. No woman will put up my pride and arrogance. Nobody's going to do it. But I thank God that He's giving us incredible spouses who love us in spite of ourselves. And I'm asking and I'm praying that every single one of us, as we get back to doing the things we used to do at first, that it will bring us closer to our wives. It will truly build up our marriages and help us to be more connected and more intimate with our wives. If we get this down, I promise you, your needs for sex and all that is going to be there. Another question I had on here, you're going to see it, is, where is it? I am affectionate without it leading to sex. Grade yourself. See, again, a lot of times our wife is like, here he comes. He's been affectionate because he wants to get some. He shouldn't be that. Okay, we're laughing because we're all guilty. You know? They can see it from a mile away. But he wants something. But it shouldn't be that way. Amen? And so, I really believe that this is going to help us. Again, I'm not standing up here as somebody who's very well figured out. I'm talking as somebody who's also growing in this area. I'm not talking as an expert. Like, okay, I got it all down. I'm still learning. And I will continue to learn. But we can help one another. Amen? So, that's what I wanted to share tonight. Jerry, could you come up and lead us in the closing prayer? And then we'll be done. God bless you all.
So, Conover, dear Father, it is great to be able to have been here this evening. We thank you for the message that Richard shared with us. And I know that each one of us will take it to heart and we'll put these things into practice, God, so that we can have marriages that everyone who's not a Christian can look to and look up to. And we will make our spouses shine like you've commanded us to do. And that we will have the most awesome marriages and the good marriages that God has created for us and wants for us. And we thank you for giving us this time. Pray for our safe travel home. In Jesus' name, amen.